Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, it's Tuesday, the second day of school for a lot of folks out there. Teachers, administrators, students. And it is the 13th day of August. Good morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin. It's 9:09 now on KDXU. And later on in this hour, we will hear from McCray Hepler. He's going to come in and tell us about some cool new stuff happening in St. George, including some stuff opening up soon in downtown St. George. That's going to be cool. And over in my neck of the woods, over there toward Middleton, the Gateway, the Mall, that little plaza right there by off of Red Hills Parkway. So we'll learn some things from McCray. That's coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Stockton is here today. Good morning, Stockton.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Please do.
What do you think about the state of the mall right now? Do you think it's actually, like, pretty all right now, or do you think it's still missing some key things that a mall should have?
Well, and that's actually a good question to ask because McCray is going to talk about some new things coming to the mall. One of the things missing right now from the mall is eating options.
Yeah.
You know, they closed out that pizza pie, whatever it was.
It wasn't that great.
I liked it, but I liked their dessert pizzas. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was great. The normal pizza was lukewarm lamp buffet pizza.
Yeah,
but the cookies and cream pizza.
Oreo pizza. Yeah, that was good. Anyway, he's going to talk about a couple of new food places opening over by the mall, and you know, I know the guy who is the director. Corey Ashby is the director of the mall. Got hired, I think, about a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's doing a lot of good things to get it going again. Because, I mean, let's say you're growing up here. Me, really, I've been here 31 years.
The mall. I miss the mall.
It's kind of been not so much.
When I was a kid, they had a really fun food court. They sold soup and bread bowls. I remember that very well. And they, of course, we had the Red Cliffs movie theater that was there.
There was an Orange Julius.
Yes, there was. There was an Orange Julius. And right across, there was a Panda Express. And right across the hall was a legitimate arcade for kids to play in.
That's right.
It was called Tilt. Then there was a little video game store down the way. There was several nail salons. There was some really cool, like, nifty, like, knick-knack stores and all that stuff. I'm actually impressed with, there's a couple of stores that have just endured, and one of those places was the little pretzel shop that's in the mall.
Oh, that's right. It's still going, isn't it?
It's under a different name now. It's called Pretzel Maker now, but back in the day it was called Pretzel Time. And, that was the best. When I was a kid, asking my mom for a video game, and then as soon as we got it, we'd celebrate and get a pretzel.
Nice.
Memories.
So I, as most of you know, I spent the last couple of weeks on vacation, was able to go to Europe for my first time ever, never been there. A lot of things really impressed me. The architecture, the cleanliness of the towns, the pride in, you know, even I'll use this word, but there weren't any dumpiest houses. The poorest houses, they took great pride in how their house looked. I wish that we had more of that here in the United States. And it's not just, I mean, I have a nice clean house. We have a nice yard. We have nice, you know, rose bushes in the front. But we don't have the extra stuff that they do in here. We don't have, you know, statues and towers and steeple.
We don't have as much history as they do.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
They've been around for hundreds of more years.
And some of those houses, let's be fair, some of those houses have been around for, you know, 1,000 years mm-hmm. or more. And they don't have yards. And we spend, I know us Americans spend a lot of money on our yards. If you got money, you don't have to buy a mower or weed and feed or sprinkler system or whatever. Yeah, maybe you buy a statue instead or whatever. And so there is that. But I was just so impressed with the cleanliness. I will say this, though. There was one area that Europe was way, way down the list as far as cleanliness and niceness, and that is cigarettes.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot more of a cultural thing over there.
I don't know what the percentage is, but it looked like just by outward appearances that 80% of people there smoked, maybe 70%. A lot of cigarette smoking. Every time anybody had some free time, they'd go sit outside and smoke a cigarette. And the only trash we saw on the streets in Germany, in France, in Switzerland, the only trash were cigarette butts. They didn't, you didn't see discarded bottles or paper bags or anything like that, but there were cigarette butts everywhere, and it was kind of gross. So I was looking at the wire this morning. A couple of stories popped out at me, and they were right next to each other on the wire. So I'm going to play these quick reports. This first one is from Rory, who is a regular contributor on our show. Listen to this.
Only 11% of Americans admit to lighting up a cigarette in the past week. That matches the historic low in 80 years of polling by Gallup. When first asking the question in 1944, 41% of American adults said they smoked. The big drop-off has been measured among young adults under 30. Only 6% of them smoke, but 18% use e-cigarettes. I'm Rory O'Neill.
I was about to ask that.
Yeah, that was the first thing that popped into my head, too. What about e-cigarettes? And I did not see a single e-cigarette in Europe. They were all real cigarettes. But right next to that story on the wire this morning was this story.
Published in the journal Cancer, Australian researchers looked at cases and deaths from 30 different types of cancer all over the world. It projects overall cases in men to increase from over 10 million in 2022 to 19 million in 2050. That's an 84% increase. Lung cancer is expected to continue to cause the most cancer cases and deaths in 2050. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
So thank you, Tammy and Rory, by the way. So those two studies are kind of contradictory. Now, the study I noticed with the cancer being up is an Australian study. I'm assuming Australia is like Europe, and a lot of people smoke.
Well, originally it was a island owned by Great Britain. It was a prison island.
Right. And so it's funny, we're down to 11% of people in that study, Rory said, in America, in the United States of America, say they've lit up a cigarette in the past week. 11%. In Europe, and again, this is just completely me guessing, but I would say 3/4 of everyone there smokes. That kind of explains that cancer deaths are going to go up, right? But it doesn't explain to me why Europeans, who are so enlightened about so many things, are unenlightened about the death
to
rate
and choose to inhale tar into their lungs.
Why do they do that? I don't get it.
I mean, for the longest time, cigarettes, at least back in the 20s and stuff like that, it was a sign of like social status. Being cool, you're hip. And that's why so many kids were like, oh no, you gotta smoke because you're cool, you're edgy.
True.
And it's just now, it's just, we're smarter than that. But it's just, maybe it's too ingrained into the culture of Europe.
So in Europe, I am, and you and I are both members of a religion in which we do not drink alcohol. It was interesting in Europe because everyone drinks wine there. I mean, that's just assume you're going to have wine with your meal.
Yeah.
In fact, it was fascinating to me. I had not seen Dr. Pepper for 2 weeks. In Europe, they soft drinks, they have Coke.
Yep.
Coke Zero, Sprite, and Fanta. And Fanta is orange. It's always orange. They don't have other flavors. They call orange soda Fanta. That's just what it is. Cool. Those were the only choices for soda pop, for soft drinks in Europe.
And if you go to a fast food place, if you get a large in...
It's not large.
It's not large.
No.
Not even close. It's like a medium at best.
It's a medium, yeah.
Yeah, that's the largest you can get. And they're very particular about that. They're very particular about... And that's why... I mean, that's arguably one of the reasons why their obesity rating is down compared to us. But
that, plus they're always on bicycles.
True.
I saw a guy on a bicycle smoking a cigarette. That contrary to,
and yeah, he didn't have a cup holder with a box wine in it.
No, he did not. But I just, one of the things I learned about being over there in Europe is that In my religion, we no alcohol. We don't drink, right?
We don't drink.
We don't
smoke.
In fact, about 3/4 of the ship, the ship that we were on, were members of the LDS faith, and so they did not make money on alcohol sales.
No.
In fact, drinks were included at mealtime, and nobody you know, nobody got cocktails or wine or liquor or anything like that. So we did go through quite a bit of Coke and Diet Coke, though. But I just, you know, I learned something. And I did not know this. And now it makes a lot more sense. So in Europe, in all the way through history, 1200s, 1400s, 1600s, 1800s, water was not safe to drink in Europe. You don't drink the water. That was kind of the way it was in Europe. So kids, when they would raise children, they drank milk pretty much exclusively as under the age of about 10. They drank milk, either mother's milk, you know, or just milk from a cow. That's all they drink. I found out, though, that at age 11, you were cut off from milk. You were no longer allowed to drink milk at the age of 11.
So what would you drink?
So, yeah, and so that was the first thing that popped in my head. What do you mean you're cut off? So what did the kids drink? Well, you couldn't drink the water, and you can't have milk anymore. They had something called... I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's basically kitty beer.
Oh.
And the kitty beer was beer that was fermented, but it was less than 1%, kind of like Sharps or O'Doul's here in the United States. It was non-alcoholic or very low alcoholic beer. And so kids from the age of 11 to 16 drank this kitty beer. And that was all they could drink because they didn't have soft drinks. They weren't allowed to have milk anymore. You couldn't drink the water.
Yeah.
So they drank. That's all they drank with every meal was this kitty beer. And then at the age of 16, they were allowed to have the more longer fermented beer with higher alcohol levels.
You know what I thought of when I heard about that? In Japan, they have something similar. So sake is their main form of alcohol over mm-hmm. there. Of course, they love beer and all that stuff as well. But they also have like a young adult version of sake.
Really?
There, and it's like it doesn't. So I don't know for sure, but I think it does actually give them a little bit of a buzz. It doesn't get them drunk. It just makes them feel a little. I don't know.
Buzzed.
Yeah, that's the best I could describe it. So that's what I thought when I heard that.
Yeah, but I learned that. You know, one of the guys explained that to me. He said, the word schittle beer, S-C-H-I-T-T-L-E, schittle beer.
Oh, that's why you didn't want to pronounce it.
Yeah, and it is basically non-alcoholic or very low-alcoholic beer that kids from 11 to 16 drank. And that's all they drank. They didn't have, like I said, they didn't have soft drink, milk. Couldn't drink the water. That's all they drank. And so no wonder every kid in Europe, when they hit 16 and could have real beer, they pretty much were into it, and they all drank it. Of course, they had wine, too.
16? They can drink beer?
Yeah, 16, yeah.
Wow.
And they served wine a lot, and it was almost always, well, not almost, it was always fermented. And but, you know, kids weren't allowed to drink much of that. And
fascinating.
I just thought it was kind of fascinating. And so when you think about the history of the church you and I belong to, a lot of them came from Europe. A lot of them were converted and came from Europe.
My family history is entirely from Yorkshire. It's on my dad's side.
They grew up with this culture where you couldn't, I mean, what did you drink then? If you were, say you were converted in 1800, you still couldn't drink the water or the fermented wine or the fermented beer. That was a pretty big leap of faith to say, I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore for those people.
That's rough.
Very fascinating. So... 922 on KDXU. Last night, former President Donald Trump was on X. He was interviewed by Elon Musk. And it's funny, I had Rory O'Neill on earlier. I should play that clip, but it's funny. He says, Elon Musk will never be accused of being a great interviewer.
No, he's not. I mean, who knew? He's a tech company CEO. He's not an interviewer.
He's a big old
He's used to being
player.
Interviewed.
Exactly. But they did have a 2-hour long conversation. First of all, I guess they had some technology problems, which with Elon Musk, that doesn't bode well. I mean, he's supposed to be the tech guy.
You know, that is a pretty good point. I was thinking like I've run a couple of live streams myself, and it's hard sometimes. Tech issues are awful. I never thought like, oh yeah, Elon Musk is the leading tech giant in the whole world right now.
And even he couldn't. They were 40 minutes late, but they did finally get it started, and they covered really the full gamut of topics. Trump talked about his assassination attempt, you know, that guy that tried to shoot him, and he says he doesn't blame Secret Service. He feels like they did a great job. He said the only thing he questioned is, he said many times during these rallies in the last, you know, 4 years, actually the last 8 years, they have delayed him going on stage for one reason or another. Maybe there's lightning in the area. Maybe there's a suspicious character, whatever. They said, hey, just wait 10 minutes. Wait 5 minutes, whatever. We'll get you on stage as soon as we can. He said they didn't do this time. And that kind of, that's the only thing he would question about the whole Secret Service with it. He says, why didn't they, if there was something suspicious going on, why didn't they just tell me to wait?
Yeah.
So.
That's strange.
Yeah. And they joked that apparently illegal immigration saved former President Trump's life.
How?
Because the chart that he had turned his head to look at was about illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
If he had not turned his head at the last second, then he wouldn't be with us anymore. So it's tongue-in-cheek, but
yeah.
One of the topics they covered, Elon Musk, of course, known for, we know, SpaceX and what?
Tesla.
So they talked about electric cars and... I thought it was interesting that Donald Trump said, basically, you know, I think you're doing a great thing with these electric cars and they're cool. He says, but we shouldn't be forced into having them. And he says, honestly, where do you get your power for your electric cars anyway? From fossil fuels.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of the same grid, essentially.
Yeah. Trump was very critical of Kamala Harris and the fact that she wants to get tough on immigration now. She is the vice president. They've had an administration of 4 years almost now, and they haven't ever gotten tough on immigration.
Yeah,
and
so why are you doing that now?
Why are you saying it now? Maybe to pacify those who think that that's a problem, which is most of us.
The important thing is she actually going to follow through with it? Even if she does win for one reason or another, will she actually go through with it? Or is that just an empty promise?
No, empty promise. Yeah. I think. President Trump talked about with Elon last night. He said, basically, I don't believe that global warming is a big threat to the world as some of these doomsayers are saying. He said, the projection by the worst of the doomsayers is that the ocean will rise an eighth of an inch over the next 400 years. An eighth of an inch over the next 400 years.
Hmm.
That's pretty insignificant. And he said, at one point they were talking about money and saving money, and he said the very first thing to come across his desk was a bill for a new Air Force One, the new the jet that the president was going to fly on. And the bill was for, get this, for one airplane, $5.7 billion.
Holy moly.
And Trump said he took one look at that. He said, I'm not paying that. And they said, well, Boeing, who designed the plane, said, well, you have to pay. That's what it costs. And they said, who negotiated this price? And they said, Barack Obama. And Trump said, okay, there you go. There's your problem. Here's where I'm going to cut. And he cut some things and moved some things around and ended up costing about $4 billion. But compared to $5.7 billion,
that's an expensive plane. How much is a normal plane?
Good question. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But not billions. That's
I do imagine Air Force One is literally the most, it's supposed to be like the most secure plane on the planet, right?
Yeah. I would think, yeah. But, okay, one last thing I want to get to before we welcome McCray in. Phil Lyman, and you reported on this during the news today. Phil Lyman is going after, he's trying to get them to stop printing ballots because the current ballots right now for governor don't have anywhere for a write-in candidate or a bubble to color in or anything like that. He's trying to get them to stop printing those ballots and print new ones that have the room for a write-in candidate. Phil Lyman, now I know there are Phil Lyman backers out there. He did well in Washington County.
He won in Washington.
But Stockton, he lost in the state by
40,000 votes. Around 40,000 votes, yeah.
A bunch.
Yeah.
It was like 10% of the vote or something like that. It was a big margin. So my only problem, and I have no problem with Phil Lyman, and I think he was a good candidate. I think I voted for him. I know I voted for him.
I have plenty of people who voted for him, too.
But he lost, and he lost by a bunch. Now, his issue, correct me if I'm wrong, his issue is he won the
GOP convention in April.
Nomination. Yeah. So I can see him going, hey, I won the GOP nomination. There shouldn't even be a vote.
That's the thing, though. He didn't win the nomination. He was endorsed. He won the endorsement.
Mm.
That's the whole point of this whole primary was to decide who was going to be the Republican nominee. And it went to the people. The people voted. Cox got it.
I am not a Cox supporter, but he won.
Yeah.
And for Phil Lyman to say, well, no, I won, I don't think that's accurate. And so, I mean, I'm disappointed. I wanted Lyman to win, but he didn't win. And it wasn't close.
The most important vote is the one that goes to the people. And him saying, toss it out, I won.
It's kind of disrespectful.
It is, a little bit.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, McCray Hepler is here. We're going to talk about downtown St. George, and we're also going to talk about my neck of the woods over there by Middleton and Gateway and the mall and stuff like that, all when we come back. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back in 933 on KDXU. I'm Andy. McCray Hepler is in the house with me, one of the coolest guys I know. Are you cool? He's cool. I think he's pretty cool.
I don't know about that.
Two kids now.
Two kids.
Yeah, you can have 2.3 kids like the average American.
Either, yeah.
I don't know, I have 0.3 kids, but. And McCray.
We'll probably go for a third.
Yeah, yeah, I don't blame you. My number three son has one child, and he's like, she's pretty awesome. I don't know if I want any more. So, yeah, but she's pretty awesome. Imagine having two pretty awesome.
Seriously.
Or three pretty awesome. So, yeah.
It's fun. But my wife's actually gone right now, so I just dropped them off at my dad. He just lives on the other side of the hill.
Okay.
And right in front of McGarry. And, my wife's been gone since Saturday, so she comes home tonight. But
yeah?
It's been
you've been batching it, huh?
Been a couple days of single dad, and it's been fun.
So not the kid, just the kids, just the wife has been gone.
Just the wife, yeah. No, I've had the kids, just me. Yeah. I just dropped them off with my dad.
Are you good?
Worked for a bit,
changing diapers and all that.
Oh yeah, I change diapers every day since they were born. So
I was Mr. Mom for quite a few years, and so. I have literally changed thousands of diapers. You get a strategy involved.
Oh, yeah.
What I haven't had to do is change grandkids' diapers, because if they get stinky, I just go, here, take your kid back.
Yep.
I love it that you keep an eye on what's happening in St. George. Let's start downtown. I didn't get to watch the whole video of downtown, but tell us about some of the stuff happening right in historic downtown St. George.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in downtown. I love seeing it. I'm a huge advocate of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just started a downtown alliance group that's just focused on helping the downtown environment continue to accelerate, because the businesses down there need more vibrancy there. They need more people there. They need, and so, and a lot, what's cool about our downtown is that it's all local places, both restaurants, retail.
No Starbucks.
There's nothing.
No McDonald's. Yeah.
There are no national chains. There's not even regional chains. And so, you know, Pizza Pasta Factory I've had some people tell me that it's kind of a chain, but it's not really. And it's just, that's like St. George, you know, like Pizza Pasta Factory is local, is as local as it gets, right? Yeah. Amidst everything that is already there, there's things that are being added. We've got, I think, one really cool thing that is going in is called the Mathis, and it's an event center that will hold up to about 100, 130 people.
Okay.
And it's going in right next door to the Electric Theater.
Is it going to be like a theater?
No, so it's an event center for different types of, you know, weddings or business retreats.
Kind of a hall type.
Corporate meetings. Yeah. I'm planning on having our Christmas, team Christmas party there. So it can hold up to, like I said, 100, 130 people. You can, you know, bring your food in. They've got a little prep place for food and all different kinds of events. So, that one's set to open next month, and it's right next to the Electric Theater, right on the end there. I really like it for a couple of reasons. The first one, event space in downtown is very, very, small. There's not much there. So it's going to fill a huge need for downtown. It's going to bring more people down there. They go to an event there or something, and there's no food. They can come out and go right, or right before or right after, you know, go to, you know, walk down to one of the really good restaurants that we have there.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's renovating these older buildings that is a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of money, and but it turns something, I love the renovation because it takes something that's just either empty and not being put to use and bringing it alive to give us something that we can use. And the reason why they're calling it the Mathis is because at one point there was a grocery store there way, way back in like the 20s to the 50s.
Before our time, okay.
Yes, of the 1900s. And it's really cool. They actually have in the base, right underneath the ground floor, there's a basement where they would store all the, like, it was like a meat hanger and everything. And really? there's still this rolling machine down there that is right underneath the sidewalk. And people back then, if you had stuff stored down there, you could just put it on that little thing and crank it up, and it would go up to the sidewalk.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. But anyway, so they really they've kept a lot of the reused some of the glass, reused some of the different, like from the windows and different things, and some of the wood. Actually, I think it's the wood they're reusing, not the glass. But anyway, super cool. Really, really excited to have that.
And one of the things, you know, I just got back from a trip to Europe. They are so good in Europe at, instead of tearing something down and building something else, they take what's there, and if they have to rebuild it or remodel it, and then repurpose it. And I think that's fantastic that they're doing that in downtown St. George.
Yeah. And then just on the other side of the Electric Theater, they've got another place right next to Capoletti's that'll be an office space. That's what they'll start working on next. It's the same group. And it's a local group, too, so it's awesome. And then you've got FS Coffee, that is Chris Connor's sister company to Farmstead, which is a huge, huge staple here.
And let me just say one thing about Farmstead. All the places I went to in Europe, all the shops, bakeries, and everything, I remember sitting there in one of the shops and eating one of these unbelievably incredible pastries. Uh-huh. And going, you know, there's only one place I can think of back home that is on a level with this stuff, and that was Farmstead.
And it's Farmstead. Yeah. I'll tell him you said that. Yeah. But yeah, so he opened up a coffee shop, opened up a few months back, right on the corner of the roundabout of Main and Tabernacle, where One Hot Girl used to be. He had Kairos in there for a time, and then just transitioned out of that. And then around the corner from there, right along Main Street by Picarica, there's a new Hats Over Heels bar, which is a hat custom hat store.
Really?
Nature's Edge is an art gallery. They've got different kinds of home decor and different things like that. There's actually another one that I missed. It's called Oakham. It's I was really bummed because I thought I knew everything downtown, and I don't.
One got by you, huh?
And so they'll be in my next one, but it's called Oakenham Shop. It's a Scandinavia Nordic cool meets the desert heat, and it's a bunch of different home decor, furniture, different things that are Scandinavian. Super nice store. That's just right along Main Street, right around Picarica and the Paletta's store, and all that. So a couple of cool additions there. And then the other really good one that a lot of people have already seen excited about is HB Beverage Co. And it's on St. George Boulevard where Downtown Furniture,
right
across from Downtown Furniture was a little car lot. There's the big car lot, the huge one, Premier Auto, I think is what it's called. And then on the corner, there was just a little small one.
It's like and, Second West or something like
Second
that.
Yep, Second West. Yeah. Yep. And so they repurposed that into a drink place. It's not a soda and cookie place for everybody that's listening. Because I know.
Not another one.
Yeah, anytime that gets brought up. But it's cold pressed juices, acai bowls, smoothies. Completely, the added sugars and all the kind of stuff that sometimes makes treats what they are, they keep out. Super high quality. They're from, it's a couple that moved here from Seattle. They actually owned one up in Seattle and it shut down in 2021. I would imagine from COVID, but I'm not completely sure. Yeah. But they had a huge following up there, and it's funny because they posted on the same account. And there's so many hundreds of comments of people like, oh no, you moved? Like, why'd you move? And so anyway, super community based people. They want to have events. It's a big parking lot. So they want to have events there, and really, really cool.
I remember when that, it was like a used car dealer when they closed down. They had it up on the marquee. They said, we have moved, but it didn't say where. And I was sitting there, and I drive by it quite often. I was thinking, I wonder what's going to go in there. I wonder what they're going to figure out that will fit, because we don't need another car dealer.
Yeah, right. I was really happy to see a car dealership converted into something else rather than just another car dealership going there.
Yeah, I agree.
And then a couple future projects, one smaller one, just on the other corner from the HB Beverage Co. is going to be Sandtown Inn, which is a little 12-unit boutique inn. It'll have a little cafe spot with it as well. That'll be cool. And then right on that same block where the big car lot is, and then the empty lot right next to Ancestor Square, right there where 100 West cuts through. So that's all one big project, about 3.6 acres. And that is going through the city right now through the design phase. They've selected the group that is designing
it. Okay.
Yeah. So the group that's designing it, not necessarily developing it yet. They've got to design it first and then it'll go from there. But basically they're wanting to design it into a mixed use, commercial, residential, downtown happening spot, and, you know, restaurants, I hope. Some nightlife and other retail, and I would assume a hotel goes in there, maybe some condo type stuff. That these are just my guesses of what I think would make sense there. It's still just going through the design. So over time, hopefully it goes quick, because I think it'll be a huge lift for downtown as well. And then there's another couple projects down there too that are just waiting. Couple last things before they get approval and can bring even more. So it's fun to see.
Let's talk about, first of all, what would you define as downtown? You maybe between.
So in this one, because it's hard. This one I did from basically 100 East to 200 South.
Okay.
Mostly because it was so jam packed that I couldn't fit in more of the east side of downtown. Honestly, downtown St. George is much bigger than just what I just talked about.
Would you go out to 700 if you're including downtown?
Yeah, I'd go out to 700 and then down to probably 700. You know, it's just that most of it's residential. So it's like most of anything from 100 South. Anything from 100 South to 700 South for the most part is residential, right?
Yeah.
And so, but your downtown, commercial area really is from 100 South up to the Boulevard and then beyond, maybe a block or two. And I think it goes from Bluff Street to 700, you know. Okay. But, and so there's much more. That video is just so jam-packed, right? I call that, you know, historic downtown, the arts district. That is its own little area. But then you've got stuff happening along, you know, Smoke Taco just opened up recently further up St. George Boulevard. And then on the other end,
those are the same guys that had the Smoke Taco truck, right? And they just
different company. Okay. Yep. So Smoking Something Tacos is still a food truck. Tacos from Northern Utah.
Different one. Okay.
And it's been busy there. It's been a popular hit so far. And then Chubby's down on Bluff Street.
Love Chubby's.
Sandtown Pizza is another one that was not in this video, but it's on Bluff Street where China Palace was. Not yet.
Okay.
I think they're hoping for this month, August, potentially September. They got a really cool mural on the side of the wall with a big old pizza on it. It's really, really cool. I think the guys that are running that are super cool, and I'm excited for them. So yeah, there's a lot happening in all of, you know, downtown.
So talk about, you and I are different, Jenna. You're right around 30, right?
Yeah, 34.
I'm 58. What kind of appeal does it have for the different generation? Though my generation may be a little older, you know, the Gen X, between the Gen X and the baby boomers, kind of that group in there. And then your group, your generation, how does this appeal to us? What's going to get us to go down there and participate in downtown?
Food,
okay.
I think is a big one. I think...
Is there parking?
Yes, plenty of parking.
Okay.
When people talk about parking, I actually... It's a funny conversation I have. It's a group text that I have with about four people that we're always talking about parking, because we feel like we feel like city requirements, not just St. George, but in general in the USA, all over, especially big cities, the parking requirements are actually pretty pretty ridiculous, mm-hmm. and they hinder creativeness, they hinder innovation, they hinder, you know, there's some cities that are just literally parking lots, and it's kind of sad. And so there's different ways to approach the parking, and really the new city office building is going to have public parking that will be huge. That's going to be a big big thing, but there's plenty of parking in downtown St. George, and I think that with some of these projects too that are coming in, you know, the big project I mentioned is going to have their own parking structure. I'm all for parking structures,
yeah,
because and it minimizes the land impact of the parking, right? Because if you just have a sprawling parking lot and then there's little mixed things in it, it just doesn't, like, there's a place down in San Diego I love, it's in Del Mar, mm-hmm. and it's a shopping mall outdoor, you know, it's all outdoor, and there's your retail with different clothing stores and different things, but then you also have a bunch of different restaurants. And the whole thing is walkable because on one end, they've created this parking structure. And then they don't have to worry about parking in between everything. So you're just walking through all these shops and, like, you park in the parking structure. Once you get down, you can walk the whole thing and you're not walking across parking lots and different things. And I just think if we had more of that, and that's what I'm hoping for with the big project down there. It's totally doable. But there's some other things coming downtown. I think tourists would love to stay in downtown, as far, you know, having more hotels down there to be able to walk to some of those restaurants too. Anyway.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the mall. I don't even call it the mall anymore.
Red Cliffs. Yeah, they don't want to call it the mall. Red Cliffs.
And that gateway and Red Hills Parkway and some of the stuff going in there. And we're going to get the latest from Mr. McCray Hepler. McCray, if you don't mind, hang on for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put commercials in. Do want to talk for just a minute about the Ducrest Monument Company. They are AG approved. Now they're right there on Buena Vista. They by the way, they have the little griffin as their logo. I like that. They offer full service monument and headstone design. I had a cool experience. I got to go in with their designer, sit in a room, and pick exactly what monument I wanted and then what I wanted to say on the monument. In our case, we're going to have our names on the front, my wife and I. It's a two-person monument with a griffin logo and a picture of the temple that we got married. On the back, we're going to have the names of all of our children. And then some red cliffs and stuff behind it. So that's what Ducrest does for you. Yes, you can buy your monument through the funeral homes, but they're going to have markup. And the best thing for you to do is to pick out your own monument while you're still alive. And just to find out how cool it is to sit there and go through that experience and say, this is what I want to have as my headstone. It's very, very cool. It's the Ducrest Monument Company. Again, they're located right there on Buena Vista Boulevard. If you just head north on Buena Vista, it kind of come around the bend by the old Too Lazy Two Ranch. How old am I? It's across the street from that. And it is really a great experience. Talk with the folks at Ducrest Monument Company. They are AG approved.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Got about 8 minutes left talking with McCray Hepler here on the Andy Griffin Show, and I wanted to move on. We talked about downtown a lot. I think downtown has some really cool stuff coming up, but McCray also spent some time, a video released about a week ago on I call it the mall because I've lived here so long, it's always been the mall, but they're kind of getting away from that word mall. And actually, it's weird, McCray. Mall has kind of a negative connotation anymore, doesn't it?
It does.
That word. So.
It does, yeah. So they definitely, a lot of malls. I mean, when you think about City Creek up north, you think about Southtown,
Fashion Place.
Fashion Place, you think about Fashion Show in Vegas. None of them say anything about a mall now. Yeah. And so I completely get it. I still, even in my videos sometimes, or when I'm referencing it, I say the mall, because I am from here, yeah, and that has been the mall for my entire life, right? Sure. But Corey has said, he's like, let's call it Red Cliffs. And I like that. I like it a lot. I think their Instagram and all their handles and everything is Shop Red Cliffs, and I think it's awesome. But yeah, they've done a lot of work to, you talk about what appeals to people now versus, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago.
It's changed.
Retail, restaurants, shopping, everything is different. Yeah. And obviously a lot of the daily things you can get delivered right to your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's delivered to your doorstep by the local grocery store or Walmart or something, or Amazon that delivers it through the mail, right?
Yeah.
And so retail has had to really, really shift into more of an experience for people. You can have the stores, you have your needs, you know, Al Sporting Goods, for example, that edition. People are always going to need the types of things in Al's. And the things that are in Al's, a lot of times you want to go feel it, right? And you want to go try it on. You want to go your baseball mitt or your running shoes or the bikes, all the different things there, right? You want to go feel it.
And
pickleball has become my most favorite sport.
All right.
And
me too.
And so yeah, that, and with all the tournaments we have here and everything, I mean, that was an ideal get for the mall. And then some of the new stores, some of the new restaurants that are coming in, the plaza, they're trying to create more experiences, concerts in the plaza, different things like that to get people there. And food, as I've mentioned, is one thing that will always get people there if it's good food. So the Hash House that everyone's been asking about.
Everyone, what's going to go in there? And you know what, McCray, during the last couple of decades, we've seen 3, 4, 5 different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a Ruby Tuesday, I think, for a while.
Ruby Tuesday,
it was Buca de Beppo, Hash House of Go-Go. Why do you think, just speculate, why do you think nothing is stuck there?
So I think it's just Ruby Tuesday I was never impressed with. And I don't know. Maybe it just didn't have. I think the problem was nobody was going to the mall for a long time. It was back in like 2018, 19, I think, when this group, you know, that's when Corey Ashby came. And I think Corey came from fashion show in Vegas or somewhere.
Vegas, yep.
And really that's when they started to revamp this place. But the mall for a while, was dead, right?
It was.
And so that didn't help. But then Buca di Beppo, I was a fan of. There were some things about Buca di Beppo that just didn't fit St. George. When you go inside, it was just it felt like you were in New York or some big city or Vegas, which is fine for some people. But I think, and they had like family portion stuff, which I think could have been a hit. I just don't know that it tied in here locally as well. And so then it stayed vacant for a bit. And then Hash House, I think, just timing was
yeah,
they got hit with COVID. They stayed closed longer for some reason than everybody else. And I think because of their corporate.
I don't know if you remember this. They actually were open weird hours. Like they were open weird. Monday through Thursday in the morning only. And then Friday and Saturday in the evening only.
Yeah.
It was really strange. You just never knew if they were open.
Yeah. And so that was a COVID casualty, I call it. But yeah, I think, you know, Johnny at Sakura has created an incredible, incredible experience at Sakura. Mm-hmm. My in-laws, it's their favorite place. So, like, a lot of times when we go out to eat.
Favorite place,
yeah. And you have to go at 5 o'clock to not get a wait if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But anyway, then he opens Rusty Crab Daddy, and I haven't been able to go there because I'm allergic to shellfish, so I just haven't been, but a lot of people tell me it's great.
Yeah.
And so he's opening Seoul Grill, which is a Korean barbecue that I think is going, just judging by what he's created so far, I think is going to be a hit. And hopefully with just that local feel and the people that are familiar with Sakura, you know, maybe some cross-branding and stuff there, I think it'll be great. I think more people being at Red Cliffs is going to help. And so, yeah, I'm super excited about it.
Seoul Korean barbecue in the Hash House of Go-Go Building. Okay, cool. We've only had 2 minutes left.
Okay.
What about the former mall now, the Red Cliff Shops, whatever?
Yeah.
What's going to come in there?
So right in front of Al's Sporting Goods, it was a clothing store called Torrid. They took that out, and they're replacing it with Hot Dog on a Stick, which is coming back from, like, the 2000s.
Old school, baby.
A lot of nostalgia there. And then there's a company opening two different stores. It's one is the 16 by Cass, which is a clothing store, and then 16 Soda and Treats.
Okay.
So for the people that want to say just another one coming, it's actually the local YouTube family, the Nelsons. There's like 16 kids. It's their okay. It's theirs. So anyway, that I think wraps up. And then Kaiseki Sushi went out, so they'll be replacing that. They got a couple food options they're looking at replacing. So I know we didn't get to the Red Hills Parkway, but there's a lot going on over there, too.
Tropical Smoothie is open again.
Tropical Smoothie's reopened.
After it got hit by a car, which is a weird thing.
Yep. So. Anyway, that's it.
And then that big old shopping center by my house with, I think, the collision repair.
Oh, yeah, collision repair and the garage doors only. Yeah, that's starting to fill up more and more, so.
Awesome. Well, McCray, thanks for coming on. I know we ran out of time.
Thank you.
Plenty more to say, but it's always good to talk to you.
And you as well.
Learn so much about what's happening in St. Charles.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, talk to you later. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. We'll be back tomorrow with Steve Dunham. Washington County School District is going to join us. School is in as of yesterday, and we'll get a feel of how things look, get some numbers from Steve, and more here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it.